Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to On Target, and thank you so much for joining us today. I am your host, Penny Wolfgang, and we're here every week to talk about subjects we think are interesting and important and educational and entertaining for all of us who live in the Western New York area. I'm emphasizing entertaining because they seem to be on a spree in the last couple of weeks talking about entertainment here in Western New York, of which there is so much. And actually, I was kind of concentrating on the theater, because recently we talked to Michael Murphy from Shays, the famous Hamilton, site of the future Hamilton show, and other shows, of course, but I guess they're all overshadowed by Hamilton. And we don't want you to think, our listeners to think, that that's all, that that's the only theater, that Shays is the only theater, and that Hamilton is the only show that's happening here in Western New York, because we are so rich in community theaters. I can't begin to tell you, we very often talk to some of the other directors or actors from the other theaters, and I've learned that there's over 25 local theater companies operating here in Western New York. And I think if you listen to On Target, as I hope you do, you've heard us talk to Vincent O'Neill from the Irish Classical, Randall Kramer from Music Fair, Mary Kate O'Connell from O'Connell and Company. I could go on and on. But and Shakespeare. And every year we do get to interview, hopefully forever and ever, Saul Elkin, who is the venerable director and founder of Shakespeare. But you may not know that Saul is also the founding artist and director of a group known as the Jewish Repertory Theater. And we wanted to introduce you to them today on Target, in case you're not familiar with their work. So in the studio with us is Jordana Halpern, and Jordana has the title of managing director of we couldn't get Saul because he has so many things on his plate and so much to do that he said, I'm going to get the next best person to come and represent us. And here she is, Jordana, right? And nobody, I mean, don't take it personally, but there's nobody like Saul, right?
Oh, absolutely.
No, I mean, he is unique. He's one of a kind.
He is the best.
And he does come almost every year and talk about Shakespeare. But I know that this is a project really dear to his heart. And I thought, well, let's tell our listeners about it. First of all, what is the Jewish Repertory Theater?
Oh, well, the Jewish Repertory Theater is just starting its 16th season.
It's not that new. Oops.
Well, that's new in our
I guess,
area.
Yeah,
I think we are one of the younger theaters. And it was conceived and started because Saul Elkin, who's our artistic founding director, had a chance meeting with David Bunis, who is our founding producer, and started talking about, why don't we have a Jewish theater in town? And we used to, many years ago. There was a lot of Jewish community theater that came out of the JCC, but somehow that had fallen away. And so they got together and started what we have now. And way back in the day, we didn't have our own theater. We called ourselves the Wandering Jews. We borrowed other theaters. But eventually, we had a new theater built for us in the Jewish Community Center, where we live now.
I think Saul had the idea because he was involved in Jewish theater as well as other theater in New York City, where he comes from.
Oh,
right?
He started as a child actor in Yiddish theater.
So I think that's how he got the idea of doing it. Now, when you say when we say Jewish theater, or when we say even Irish classical theater, talking to Vincent O'Neill, It's not. We have to describe it. It's not like they're talking in another language, or like they're not talking in Hebrew or Yiddish or anything else. It's more a theory or to do with the theater itself.
Right. So, yeah, what is Jewish theater? People ask all the time. And we typically do Jewish stories, or our stories delve into Jewish ideas. Sometimes we do a play that is simply by a Jewish playwright. So we have a real range. Sometimes we do have plays that include Yiddish or Hebrew, and then we include a glossary in our program. But we, you know, I think we have a distinct place in the city in terms of theater, what we're doing consistently. Because the other plays, I mean, are doing Jewish theater at times. Fiddler on the Roof, coming
right.
to Shays,
just
right?
Yeah, right. Michael just told us they were doing Fiddler on the Roof at Shays. Yeah, that's right. But, I think, first of all, physically we can describe the theater is not like going to Shays. As far as size or intimacy goes?
Well, it's completely the opposite
exactly.
of Shays in terms. So we are a 99-seat black box style theater. And I think one of the comments we hear most often is people love the intimacy. There's three rows. You are not very far from the stage. You are connecting at all times with the people on the stage. So that is really a unique I think, advantage that we have in terms of what we can produce and how we can connect with people.
That's what they mean by a black box theater? I mean, it's that your people, the audience, is sitting all around.
So, yes, and sometimes we set up, four sides of the theater. We're not round. We're actually a square, more of a box. More typically, we do a three-quarter setup. It's just a little easier for us to get in and off the stage.
In the producers, the Nathan Lane part, I can't think of what they call Bielenstock, whatever his name is. He says something like, "I'm the great Max, whatever. I developed theater in the square instead of theater in the round. Nobody has a good seat."
Right.
one of the lines always crack me up, but it's just the opposite.
Because I would say so.
Because you're very close. You, no matter where you sit, you can see everything.
I would say so. Right. And hear everything. You know, that's an issue for more and more people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we do provide hearing aids, but it's nice to not have to use it if you can hear everyone.
And not have to strain. Now, let's talk about the plays that you've done in the past, and then we'll talk about the future. What are some examples of shows that you've done in the past that people might be familiar with?
Oh, now you're asking me to remember back.
Well, last year. Well,
well,
I saw.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of our more memorable shows was called Die, which is the Hebrew word for enough. Josie DiVincenzo played.
And there was one woman show
That's the one I'm talking about.
And there was one about Golda Meir.
Oh,
that, once.
Right. So that's actually going back before my time.
Yeah, because they've done a lot of plays. But is the theory new plays or people the ones that people might be familiar with, or is it a mix of all different?
You know, we really try to pick our seasons differently every year based on what people are looking for, what is relevant. This year we have two world premieres and one older play from the 40s. So I think we go into it with a fresh approach every year.
Now, we said it's not, or we didn't say, it's not necessarily musicals, but interestingly enough, the very first play of the season, which I just had the pleasure to see, actually does have music in it.
Yes, yeah, we're doing The Strudel Lady as our kickoff to the season. This is a world premiere. It's written by Cheryl Solomon from Palm Springs, Florida. I think she's in her 80s. She's written other plays and books. She has an incredible resume, actually. She's a handwriting analyst. She's an artist. So very interesting woman who wrote not only the play, but all of the music, all of the scores and all of the lyrics for this show. So it is a lot of fun for us to be doing. It's really a play with music. It's not really a musical. But there's singing and dancing and...
Well, tell us a little bit about the the play? Story. Yeah.
So I like to call it My Fair Lady Meets Fiddler on the Roof, because it is about a woman's journey to reclaim her identity. It's about a woman, she thinks of herself as old, but she's only 45. Her children are grown, and her husband abandons her, and the children side with the husband, and she's not really sure what to do with her life. So she seeks counsel of an older friend who helps her figure out how she can support herself, basically. And it turns out she's a phenomenal baker. So she starts baking strudel for the temple sisterhoods and private parties, and eventually becomes this very successful baker. And there's a whole second storyline with the caterer, and it is a really interesting story.
Well, I think what's interesting about it is the metamorphosis that she undergoes starting out. When you said she's only 45, when you first see her on stage, you think she was like 100, you know,
right,
the way she's dressed and acting. And then when you find out she's only 45, are you listening, folks? Only. I guess say that a few times. It's such a shock. And then she, I think what is interesting, like you said, the My Fair Lady aspect, how she totally, you know, becomes modern, changes, has a new outlook and a new life, basically.
Absolutely. She has to question everything that she believed before this point in her life.
Now, how did you or Saul or somebody find this play?
Jewish Repertory Theater belongs to a couple of organizations. We belong to Theater Alliance of Buffalo, which is here in the city. And as you were talking, more than 25 theaters belong. We also belong to the Alliance for Jewish Theater, which is an international theater organization. I'm actually going to their conference next week. And so in addition to meeting playwrights and producers and directors all around the country and as well as beyond who are producing Jewish theater, it's a way for people to find us. So Cheryl must have been out there looking on the internet and approaching Jewish theaters. She sent her script to us. We liked it. We decided to do it.
And she's actually a real, as you pointed out, I think it's really amazing. She's a real person that you could talk to. You were telling me before, which I thought was fascinating, that when, like, the actors conferred with her or she talked to you about the production or with the director or, you know, had input into it.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, it's interesting. Over the years, I've reached out occasionally to the playwrights, and they are always thrilled to be contacted. Somehow we think of them as very far away. But they're, you know, they're somewhere writing more plays, hopefully.
You know, I kept forgetting, we were talking about the different theaters here. And Alleyway, which I always care about, and Neil and Joyce have been on the show with me many times, they do new plays, and the playwright very often will come to Buffalo and watch the production and make changes. It's sort of like, an osmosis, a growing type thing where they can change the play or can add to it. And sometimes it's the very first production at Alleyway here in Buffalo of what the playwright has done. I met a playwright from Connecticut, and the first play they did of the season, which name I forgot, of course, but it was really good. And the playwright was here, and he was talking about it and talked to the actors about his concept and his theory, just sort of like Cheryl Solomon did with you guys.
Yes, it is such a great experience when you can bring a playwright in to what you're doing. A couple of years ago, we did a full season by Amy Herzog, who is a Pulitzer Prize nominated and a playwright and is very successful, especially in New York City. And she came in for a day and she taught a class with Buff State, and she met with faculty and she met with playwrights and she met the audience. So it was wonderful. And we tried to bring Cheryl in. Unfortunately,
we didn't want to leave Palm Beach.
No, no, she actually was planning to come in, and she broke her arm in three places.
Oh.
And we didn't know right up until the end, but we were hoping she would come. But she's been following us, and and sending her encouragement.
Like the good old internet where you found the play, you know, not an old, new internet. I just want to interrupt for a moment in case you just tuned in today. You are listening to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang, and today we're talking about local theaters, and we're talking particularly about the Jewish Repertory Theater. The present in the studio with me is Jordana Halpern, who is the managing director. And so we were just talking about the Strudel Lady, and I love the program too. The cover is really, really, really cute. And then we were going to talk about the rest of the season because, so how many shows do they do every season?
So we typically do 3 shows a season. The theater, which is located in the JCC, is also used for the Book and Arts Fair and other cultural events and family events. So, but we carve out our time for 3 shows a season. And our next show will be in February. We're doing Tally's Folly. So that's a show from the 80s.
But it's the opposite of the Strudel Lady in the sense that it's going to be familiar and known to people because I think it won a Tony or definitely won awards in the times when it was popular. So people will be at least familiar with the title. What is that? In case they're not, what is the, you know, what's the theory? What's the point? And is the playwright Jewish or the author or the story, or what does it have to do with the theater?
So Tally's Folly is a 1980 play by American playwright Lanford Wilson, and I don't know if he's Jewish. I don't think he is, but there's 2 main characters, and Matt, one of the characters, was played by Judd Hirsch, and he is a Jewish character. So the play is set in a boathouse near rural Lebanon, Missouri, in 1944. It's a romantic comedy following the characters Matt Friedman and Sally Tally, which is where the Tally's.
Oh, that's where Tally's.
Folly, yes. Folly is actually means boat. It's a word for boathouse.
It is.
And the whole play takes place in a boathouse between these 2 characters.
And is it a drama, a comedy? I mean, you know.
It is a drama. It has many humorous moments. It's a love story. It's one act. Actually, the play opens with Matt directly addressing the audience, telling them that the play will take 97 minutes, and he hopes to relay his story properly in that time.
Well, that's always good because
yes.
People are, you know, not used to watching a lot of a long play anymore. I forget what I saw recently. That was 3 hours. What was 3 hours? And people were saying, oh, my goodness, they're just not used to it. As good as it is, it's
right.
Hard to get people to sit and concentrate because they're used to television and, you know, everything with between the commercials and the news is supposed to be half an hour, and it turns out it's like 10 minutes and the rest is commercials. So people are just not used to that.
I agree. People they're okay with 1 intermission. They're not really crazy about 2. Mm-hmm. Certainly not in our theater.
I know what I saw that was 3 hours. It must have been at the Shaw Festival. It must have been Grand Hotel when they did the musical. I think it was 3 hours. And I was like, oh, my goodness, that's a really long time, you know. Tally's Folly is going to be the second show. And there's going to be a 3rd one.
So our 3rd show is another world premiere. It's called Looking Through Glass. It's by a playwright named Ken Kaiser. And it's a modern adaptation of an old Yiddish play called The Dybbuk. And The Dybbuk was written by S. Anske, very famous Yiddish writer in the early 1900s, 1920. The Dybbuk was recently adapted by Tony Kushner, and it's getting a lot of attention, The Dybbuk. I've seen a new film come out. So,
and Tony Kushner is the author of Angels in America, so
that's
he's
right.
Extremely well-known and famous.
Absolutely.
I think it means devil, or it has something to do with the devil, or does it mean something like that?
So the Dybbuk actually means between worlds, between 2 worlds. And the play is based, the Dybbuk is based on the mystical concept from Hasidic Jewish folklore about a disembodied human spirit that, because of former sins, wanders restlessly until it finds a haven in the body of a living person.
Oh, my goodness. This sounds like The Walking Dead. This will appeal to a lot of people, right? Because they're watching The Walking Dead and all. I can't think of the other one that everyone's obsessed with now.
I've been describing this season as, you know, we have a season full of pastry, love stories, and an exorcism.
Oh, yeah, we're covering everything, right? You're covering the gamut, a wide run of gamut.
I think so.
Let's talk about the actors that you use a little bit. Do you have the same company that is always appearing, or do you have different people from the community depending on the show itself?
So we do have actors who have been in multiple shows at the Jewish Repertory Theater, but we're always trying to bring in new people, mentor new talent, and certainly all of our designers are local. So for the Strudel Lady, we have some very well-known people. We've got Lisa Ludwig, Tom McCarr, who is the premier sound designer for many theaters in town. He started acting more recently, and talk about a transformation. He makes, you know, his own personal transformation to take on this character of Vevel in The Strudel Lady. So many people have been coming and saying, where's Tom? And they don't recognize him. So that has been a lot of fun. David Marciniak, wonderful actor, and Mary Kate O'Connell, who so many people in town know.
Yes. And it was such a shock to see both Lisa and Mary Kate in these roles because they're so atypical, non-typical of what they really are in real life. I want to say that's what acting is, obviously, but there was a lot more to it, taking on these personas, which we should probably give a shout out to. The costume person, whoever worked with them to get these appropriate costumes, and probably the lighting, and definitely it was Saul, we should give him the credit, getting the accent, you know, the right accent for the characters.
Right. I mean, that's, for most of these actors, they haven't worked as Jewish characters before, so that is extra work. I think they've all done it beautifully. But thanks for mentioning our designers. We are so proud of Maureen Stevens, who's from Niagara University, is doing our costumes. We have a new person with us, a musical director, Joe Iskar, who hasn't been with our theater before, and he plays piano throughout The Strudel Lady. David Dwyer, who has been doing sets for Shakespeare for a while, as well as many other places, has done our set. It's an interesting set. Did you see all the doors?
Yes, you may have mentioned that. Yeah. Very.
Yeah, so because this play takes place in Brighton Beach and in a kitchen and in a cafe and in a museum, all over the place, it was very difficult because of the size of our theater to have different sets. So David has constructed a beautiful set, which is primarily an arrangement of doors, and the concept is that doors open and doors close.
And it really works.
Thank you. I think so too. We have Brian Kavanaugh doing our lighting,
who's really one of the most well-known lighting persons in Western New York.
You can't do better. Tom McCarr is doing double duty, a sound designer and playing Vevel. And Terry Phillips Vaughn came in to do choreography for this show.
It's very hard to get choreography appropriate to the very small space that you have.
I agree.
Although Randy Kramer does it in a small space in Music Fair, too, but it's hard because you don't have it's not like Shays. I mean, you don't have like a gigantic stage to move around and to work on.
Right, and Musical Fair is, I think it's a much bigger stage, and they have wings, and
That's true.
We have a corridor in the back that leads to the early childhood program. So,
where they have to.
Yeah. We're very resourceful.
And I love the costumes, too. Do you have the other shows cast yet, or do you have any idea
who's going to be?
Oh, they do?
Oh, yes.
And is it going to be people that we are familiar with, or new to the theater?
So for Tally's Folly, we have Chris J. Handley, who I think has recently come back to Buffalo. Wonderful actor. And Anne Raldi Boucher, who has been in quite a few of our shows. They are. I saw them reading at the audition. They are powerful, I think would be the word.
It's a lot to carry a two-person show.
With no intermission,
sure.
Right? No set change. They start, they go, finish.
People always say, how can they learn all these lines? Have you ever heard that? People that non-actors say, how could they learn all these lines?
I ask myself that every time I see a production. It's amazing. They practice a lot.
And I want to go back to Mary-Kate and Lisa for a moment because they're both friends of mine, and they've been on Target, both of them, and they're involved in so many theaters here in Western New York. It was the most amazing transformation to see them playing Lisa, who is a beautiful blonde, slim actress, dancer, singer, to see her playing like a dowdy, somebody who she seemed like she was way heavier than she really is, and then I came to find out it was padding, but we didn't want to tell everybody that yet. And a kind of a dark, you know, horrible wig, and I mean, she just looked nothing like herself. And it took a while for me to come to the realization, oh my gosh, which I think the costumes and her acting kind of put together make it a perfect package. Perfect package.
I mean, you see that metamorphosis right in front of you.
Yes, and then she almost turns out to be her old self by the time the show is over. Now, I just want to give you a chance to tell people how they could get tickets, their subscriptions and things like that for the rest of the season.
Sure. So it isn't too late to get a subscription. You will save money if you do. We have. You can go to our website, www.jewishrepertorytheater.com.
If you can spell it.
If you can spell it. You can, well, it'll come up even if you spell it wrong. That's the beauty of the internet.
I found that, right? If you get close.
Yeah. You can also just come to either JCC location and buy your tickets or subscriptions there. You can call our box office, which is 650-7626. Or they could just call you here at the show and you'll send them over, right?
I wouldn't do that if I were you. But on the other hand, do you want to, you know that ad where they would say you don't have to be Jewish to like bagels or something? So you probably want to say the same thing about the theater, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you don't have to be Irish to go to Irish classical. I say that to people all the time. I think, though, you're right, that people need to be reminded. Once you step in, people seem to remember very quickly that we have a lot in common. You know, we do stories about families. We all have family stories in common. We all have humor in common. We have tragedy in common. So, absolutely.
Well, we'll
welcome everyone.
Certainly. And we hope you'll all take advantage of one of these many theaters that are so successful and making such an impact here in Western New York. Thanks for listening. Please join us again next week. Same time, same station. Have a good week. And goodbye, everybody.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.